Mike Bisaglia here from SevillePodcast.com. You are about to listen to RunCast, a weekly forum of everything running, with your host Mark Lorenzoni, a community running expert who has been directing hundreds of area for nonprofit foot races and coaching thousands of runners for the past 30 years.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of RunCast. Appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully keep this nice and informative and pat some folks on the back along the way. We've got such a great running community, and continue to remind folks we're so, as a fan of this, a lifelong fan of this sport, I often feel like I've, you know, reached nirvana by being in this community, in the sense of being surrounded by so many fantastic people, coaches, stories, places to run, support. I mean, I can remember back. I was going to talk about this last week and didn't very much, but I can remember back in the early 80s when Cynthia and I came up with the idea, Mike, of a foot race,
right,
out on Garth Road for women, heavens to Betsy, and with the road closed, the amount of flack we got, and so many people said, you'll never pull it off, they'll never let you close the roads. And, you know, working with our county board of supervisors, diligently working along with them, trying to get this crafted, to get the support. And then with the Virginia Department of Transportation, there was a guy named Dan Roosevelt who was in charge of our Central Virginia. He was the VDOT rep. And this was just such a foreign concept to think of closing the race, closing a major road for what? A foot race. And after a few months, the guy was totally on board. The board of supervisors were. And, you know, I same thing with the city. We had when 10-miler course, 1983, we designed this new course that went from, used to go out in the countryside, now it was going into the city. People think this 10-miler course is pretty tough right now. It is.
Yeah.
It definitely is a challenging course. The one that we had from 76 through 83 made this one look tame. Started at the track, U-Haul, ran out Alderman, past Scott Stadium, took a right at Stadium Road, up where a lot of the newer dorms are there.
Okay.
There's that four-way stop intersection before you get over to kind of the bridge they've been working on over there in Fontaine and,
gotcha,
and JP Extended. Yep. Stadium Road, there's a four-way intersection.
Mm-hmm.
Turn right, go up there, you go through the woods, and you pop out onto Fontaine right across from where the research park is now.
Okay.
You carry on Fontaine underneath the 250 bypass, underneath 29.
Got it.
And there was an old Chinese, it was actually a Chinese restaurant. We call it old now, and I think it actually ultimately got demolished.
Yeah, there's nothing there. There's a gas station there, or right next to it, I think. Yeah.
Well, no, you're going the opposite direction. You got to go. I'm going west, away from town.
You're going.
If you come out, and you go right.
Yep.
You go past the research park, and you go underneath the bypass.
Got it.
There's a road that leads called Reservoir Road, and it leads out to Camp Holiday Trails.
Yep.
It's gravel. It's switchback, and it's like Billy Goat in Swiss Billy Goat, you know, up steep and sharp turns and challenging. That's where we went out there and back again. So anyway, the city was the same way. What? A foot race? And bit by bit, these guys came around, and now I'm always a little envious. People put on races all the time with roads closed for several hours, and I'm like, wow, no one thinks much about it. But
yeah,
we have tremendous support, tremendous community, and speaking of, I could lead right into Coach Fetzer, Brian Fetzer. I've been talking about him the last few weeks, but we're delighted to have this man at the helm at the University of Virginia now in the track and field program. Mike, he's just bringing all kinds of new ideas and some really cool energy into this whole notion of a partnership with the community. And brought in two new assistant coaches and the distance guys. We're loving them, and they're doing a great job right off the bat. The kids love them. Peter and Todd, they're really into them, men's and women's coach. And this Monday evening, it's February 6th, we're going to do a meet and greet with the coaches, with Brian leading the charge, and just talking about his vision of a partnership with the community. And, of course, the thing we're so grateful for right off the bat is the fact they're going to keep the track open.
Right.
As soon as it's finished and open to the public in early March, we're going to be able to use it until 10 o'clock in the morning. That's pretty cool stuff. So, anyway, this is an opportunity for people to meet him, put a face to the name, a chance for him to get to know the community. It's this Monday at 6:30. Of course, it's obviously free, and we're giving out Run UVA shirts we have made up
that very nice.
And tie in a little promotion for the game, so to speak, for promoting the sport and at the university. So we're psyched. So, again, that's the 6th, and it's in the clubhouse above the shop.
Okay.
spread the word. If we have five people show up, Coach Fetzer is going to think, wow, we don't have much of a running community.
Right.
We get 50 people showing up, he's starting to think, wow, this is pretty neat.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't last long. It'll be a quick, since it's a weeknight. Speaking of UVA, good outing over the weekend at the Penn State Invitational, with the highlight being Marcus Washington. Who's Marcus Washington? He's a fourth year at the university, and he now is the school record holder in the triple jump. What's the big deal? Triple jump record was set in 1976, hasn't been touched since then. A guy named Keith Witherspoon, actually a guy I knew from my early years in Charlottesville. He was a big man on campus, good guy. Who would have thought in 76 that record would stay
Hold
around for, what is it, 36 years or whatever? Pretty impressive stuff. And interesting story with Marcus. He beat Keith's record by 5 inches.
Five.
Wow. Almost half a foot. That's huge in a triple jump. And coolest part of the story is, who's his high school coach? Keith Witherspoon.
That's really cool.
So the man whose record he broke was his coach in high school.
You know, and what I think is sort of cool about some of these records, too, is if you compare it to other sports, like football, the rules have changed so much where these passing records have happened, but
you got it.
It's sort of skewed in baseball with the era, with the balls changing.
Tennis.
You just
golf.
This is, I mean, you're sort of going against past
exactly.
history. And
no, here it is. It's just you versus a stopwatch
exactly.
or a measuring tape.
Right.
And nothing has changed. You know, the triple
exactly.
jump that Marcus Washington hop skipped and sprinted, hop skipped, jumped on is the same regulation, same surface as
exactly.
As Keith Witherspoon. So neat stuff. Anthony Kostolik, one of my favorites, one of the Fab Four, the boys at Albemarle that set the record in the 4x8 in high school. He's now a second year at UVA, and he's now number 10 all-time indoors for UVA in the mile. He ran 4:05. Wow. Pretty impressive stuff for a sophomore. And a really, really good Taylor Gillen, who's actually one of our employees. He was right behind him at 4:06. Kyle King just come in first year, second in the 3,000, 8:25. So some nice little performances up at Penn State. Good for them. On the high school side, we've got some the jumps were kind of the story of the weekend, because a young man named David Johnson over at Charlottesville High School, 14 in the triple jump, 49 feet 10 inches. He's now number one in the United States with that jump for this season. Pretty
wow.
impressive. And one of his counterparts, the female side from Louisa, Javonique Burris, in the long jump, she jumps 20 foot 1 inch. She's number one in the United States. So Marcus's jump places him number one in America in the triple jump in college. David's jump places him number one in high school in the United States. Now, this is out of one town.
Yeah.
And then Javonique's jump in the long jump places her number one. So we've got the top male high school or top male collegiate in the triple jump, currently number one in the United States. And in the long jump, we have the top female in high school. Pretty neat stuff. We've got... oh, gosh, all kinds of news from the local running scene. We have this Kids Triple Crown that we do every year. Started with Stacy Bruins up at the Charlottesville Day School, and we decided to cluster our kids' events and throw out a little challenge to the kids. If you participate in all three, you get the Triple Crown medal. Pretty neat stuff. And we've had last year, 67 kids participate in all three events, which were the Run for Autism, we have a 5K there, but that's not the event the kids run. They run like a half mile on the track.
Right.
And then we have the Charlottesville Day School Family Fitness runs out at Panorama. So we've got track, and then we've got grass, and then we're back on the track for the Discovery Dash in May, the big granddaddy of them all for kids races.
Yeah.
600 kids at that event every year. So this time around, we've added the Charlottesville 10 Miler. Now, wait a second. That's not a kids event. You're right. We've added a kids event to the Charlottesville 10 Miler for Children, Youth, and Family Services. Shannon Noe is heading that up, one of our former RMR racers, and she's doing a great job of this. It's a quarter, half, and full mile. Gun goes off for the 10-miler. Kids go up on the track, UVA track,
and
run some kids' races. So that's part of the Triple Crown. Notice now there are four events. You run three out of four, you earn yourself the Triple Crown. And
that's cute.
We've got all of that information on our website. In fact, there's now a sheet that's been put together. It's got the information on all four races. All are fundraisers, as usual, not-for-profit. Now, pretty neat stuff. So I guess then what that makes the 10-miler the kickoff event for the Triple Crown. Now, there are other kids' events. We've got Martha Jefferson's added a kids' race this year. That's on March 10th. And then there's another kids event that's incorporated into the McCormick Mile, which I've been talking a lot about. Very cool. The university's agreed, along with the city, to close down a section of road. 7:30 in the morning on March 24th, we're going to run one division after another, starting with kids, leading all the way up to seniors. And then we're going to end with a prize money race for an assault at the sub 4 with the guys and the sub 5 for the women. Pretty neat stuff on March 24th. Dunkin' Donuts is behind that. My good buddy Andy Rod, who owns all the Dunkin' Donuts franchises around here. He has an autistic child. We got cooking this thing up and said, what the heck, why don't we give the dollars to Virginia Institute of Autism? So that's on March 25th. So lots, oh my gosh, so many parents call all the time, what do you have for kids? And it's almost like, what do we not have for kids? We have events almost every single weekend in the spring now. Pretty much from early March, from March 10th through the end of May, I think there's 7 kids events. Not to mention Brian Fetzer talking about having some kids events at some of these track meets. So pretty neat stuff. Valentine's Run coming up next Saturday, the 11th. Amnesty International hosts this. It's out at Old Trail along with the Charlottesville Track Club. Carol Finch does a slam bang job of this every year. And it's a partner's race. So, Mike, you and your gal, you could sign up, be male, female. Next year, you'll be husband, wife.
That's right.
You can go right into that division. Pretty cool stuff.
I can't remember if it was last year we did the race or the year before, but I know we've done it together.
It's all starting to blend.
It is.
All starting to blend already.
I know we've done it. I just can't remember which year it was.
You can forget about stuff like that. What you do not want to be forgetting about is other things like anniversaries. Anniversary date.
Yeah.
Her birthday. Those things.
I got those too. Don't worry.
You know, yes, you do. So anyway, that's nice you guys did that event. We encourage folks to come on out for this one because it is a fundraiser for a wonderful cause. And it's kind of the kickoff race for the spring in a sense, because from here we start to flow. In 2 weeks from that date, we have on the 25th, I'm involved very actively. I'm involved with the Valentine's Run, but at a small level, I mark the course and read off one of the splits. But February 25th, my friends down at the Haven, I sat on that board for a few years. We're putting on a run for the homeless. It's going to be called Run for Home. And there's a 5K event with that on the 25th. So look, entries are out for that. So two races in February coming up. And if this good weather keeps going, man, oh, man, we're in for a nice racing weather, really, for those two events.
Right.
It was track this morning. It was 50, high 40s maybe, right around 50. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And I was down to not very many layers and stopwatches. My hand weren't freezing like they have been all winter. And everybody looked like they were, some folks were in shorts and running their workout. Really good stuff. And by the way, we do continue to meet. If you're someone looking to your experience, you have to be an experienced runner. You don't have to be a fast runner, but you got to be experienced. We have this Wednesday morning speed workouts. And we must have had 60, 65 folks out there. And we break them into groups based on pace. I think there were 5 groups running that are in the 10-miler training program. There were 5 groups this morning, ranging from people trying to break 70 minutes all the way up to people trying to break 90 minutes and working on their speed. And it's good stuff. It's free. You just got to get in touch with me at the shop, and I'll get you, or just leave your name with anybody at the shop and get your name on the email list. So,
gotcha.
What else we got going on here? We've got, I think that's it in regard. 10-miler we talked about. We've moved the location for the training program.
That's right.
It's back. It's UVA now. Not on the track, mind you, but that's every Saturday over at University Hall parking lot if you want to jump in. We're chugging along. Program 1 is at 6 miles, so congrats to them. A little training tip here. I'm seeing this more and more and more that folks are not grabbing. These are people training for long-distance events. They're not really paying enough attention to the recovery days.
Yeah.
And what's the purpose of recovery day is to get you prepared for your quality days, your speed day, your long day. But it's also to get you prepared from the run you just did. So if I run hard on a Saturday or long on a Saturday, I better be paying attention to Sunday and Monday. And if I'm not, I'm going to be hurt by Tuesday or Wednesday.
Exactly.
And what's not happening enough is people stretching and rolling, using the foam roller on the recovery days. People, if you're predisposed to have a situation with your knees or you're sensitive to shin splints, knee problems, get in the pool, run in the deep end. You should be going shorter and slower.
Yep.
And some folks are going shorter, but they're not going slower. They're not doing the two together.
Right.
And so they're coming into their speed sessions or their quality days where they're pushing a little bit more tired. Or worse yet, simply, they're just never recovering from the longer days and it's just stringing out, and it's leading to injury. And it's leading to injury almost every time anymore. So I don't know how to get this clear into people's heads, but those recovery days, you almost got to fight the urge to
want to run.
Because people say, well, I felt good. Well, you can feel good quite often the day after. Like people ran hard today on Wednesday, they might still feel good tomorrow. So if they go hard tomorrow, long tomorrow, they're going to be hurt by Friday or Saturday. And I'm seeing this all over the place, from novices all the way up to very experienced runners, where they're not paying attention to the most important days of the week are the recovery days. If you don't do the recovery days properly, you're never going to be able to train at the level you need to become, you know, as fast as you want to be, which a lot of people, particularly people listening to the show, that's a concern of theirs. So, you know, as a coach, I end up being the bad guy on this so often. You're so harsh, Mark. You're so tough about this. I want to relax out there. Well, I want you to relax too. But what I don't want to have is you injured. And when you're injured, you're not able to run at all. You're not relaxed at all. Yeah. So got to be careful with it. Thought it'd be fun, Mike. I did this just for chuckles the other day.
Okay.
We were talking about places to run in the area, and I did a top 10 of the what I think are the best or most popular, anyway, places to run. And as I made the list, I realized it's a good mix of flat and hilly, soft and hard, and then even some track thrown into this. I think one of the coolest places in town to run, starting out, this is not in any particular order, by the way, and I'd love to have people
chime in.
I mean, you know how to chime in with me. I'm pretty easy to find. Give me your thoughts. If I've missed something blatantly off, I ran this by a couple of my employees, some runners, and said, you know, what are your thoughts? And certainly the RTF, the Ravana Trails Foundation, is this wonderful, it's approximately 20 miles of soft surface that wraps the city. It's an urban green belt, and it's just beautiful to have this right.
Yeah,
you know, you could go out the state studio here, Mike, and you'd be on the trail in about a mile and a half over by Charlottesville High School.
Right.
And you pick that little spur up, which leads to another spur, which leads to the ultimate, to the loop, and away you go. And you can be country running in a city environment. Talk about carbon footprint at a low level. You don't need to drive to go out to the mountains to find a soft surface trail. And this time of year, it's not quite as adventurous looking or feeling because the leaves are down. When the leaves are on the trees, you can feel like you're way out in the countryside. So that's definitely made the list. Ridge Road is better known from some of the UVA kids. They call it the dirt road because there are no dirt roads in the city. So they drive out to this, what they call the dirt road. There's loads of dirt roads out in the county. But Ridge Road got that name years ago. And it's a very hilly but absolutely beautiful gravel road that runs. You go out Garth Road, go past Foxfield. It's probably about another 2 miles past Foxfield, so Route 678. You park on the what we call the Garth Road side, and it's literally from pavement from Garth Road out to Free Union Road, which is the next time you hit pavement, it's 4 miles. So it's an 8 mile loop, very hilly. You have to be careful how you run it, and just be mindful of motorists there. There's very few that you see, but just I always tell people, let's be good neighbors. And that's true with any country we get over to the side. Keene, we call it Keene, but it's a run that's down in the village of Keene. Keene is a good percentage of the way down Route 20 south on the way to Scottsville. We discovered this probably about 7 or 8 years ago. Glenn Anderson and T.J. Wilson discovered a nice flat, for the most part, by Alamo County standards. 7 mile loop that works most of it on gravel. And kindly enough, there's a church there where the pastor, she allows us to park in her church a lot, except on Sundays, obviously. We had a little issue recently with people going down there on Sunday morning in droves. I mean, hello, come on. I mean, really. I just can't seem to sometimes fathom what people are thinking, in that here's someone giving us a gift, and not intentional abuse, but really. And so the pastor had to call us and say, can you tell folks? I mean, she was really nice about it.
Right.
If they're going to run on Sunday, to come in the afternoon, not to be down early in the morning. So it's a Fox Mountain, which is a beautiful run out in the Whitehall Free Union area. Gorgeous, gorgeous run, but very, very hilly. That made the list. Dick Woods Road out in the western part of the county. Yep. It's south of Western Elmore. If you go down Samuel Miller, the Miller School Road.
Yep.
And, in fact, Miller School owns the parking lot area, and they're very gracious in allowing us to park there. And Dick Woods goes kind of due west from that road, from that Miller School Road. And it's almost all gravel for, 3.5, 4 miles, 4.5, maybe even 5 miles of gravel. Beautiful, beautiful scenery and very few cars. Dick Woods Road. A lot of UVA students have discovered that over the years and driven out there. Of course, the 10-miler course, now we're flipping back to urban. That is, people love the 10-miler course, which is always means a lot to me. I was involved with the design of that course with seven, eight other guys back in 1983. And we had the goal of making it a beautiful tour of this beautiful city. And when people do actually run it or run sections of it, they have to agree. It goes through the university area, goes down through Grady Avenue, past Sorority Row and Fraternity Row, down, and it goes through some of the neater neighborhoods in Charlotte, so it hits the downtown mall. Come on.
My favorite part, I loved between 5 and 7, miles 5 and
you
7.
You do like that.
That was my favorite 2 miles, I think, stretch of...
That's a section...
Maybe because I didn't know the area as well. I don't know. I really enjoyed those.
But that's a section of the course we did intentionally to highlight that. It's called the North Downtown Neighborhood Association, and it's beautiful.
Because I don't really know those homes in that area.
Yeah.
I really got a kick out of that.
Well, you go down through Court Square, down 2nd Street, up Northwood, across Park, onto Evergreen, one of the coolest little streets in Charlottesville. That's going by Delegate Toscano's house there. He always is out in his front yard waving to everyone when he was mayor. And he was on the the city council, and he still gets out there every year. He loves it. And then you go up Lexington, and
I
up
really
Maple,
that
past the beautiful cemetery there. And I'm with you, Mike. I feel pretty strongly about it too. You come back up Main Street. You gotta have Main Street. Your city, your encore, your jewel course.
Sure.
And people don't have to run this Charlottesville 10-miler course every single, the whole length of it every week. And I have a group I go in on Sunday mornings, and we run, a little section of it each week. And
that's cool. Yeah.
End up down in the downtown mall, and we always touch the wall at the end of the mall and turn around and come back up to where we've parked our cars up by U-Haul. So a new one to the list these last few years, and it's definitely moved into the list, is out in Green Springs, historic Green Springs. It's a beautiful, beautiful, it's 14,000 acres. It's got almost 20 miles of soft surface roads in this enclave of this National Historic District, preserved lands, preserved farms. There are 20 pre-Civil War farms there. Beautiful. And much flatter than Alamar County. Not totally flat, but much flatter. When you got to early in the day, you can actually see the sun rise in the east, and it just showers this course with light as you go from dark to light. And no other course I know of does, because most of the courses we run out in the countryside here are in the woods or in the mountains. Not this one. So, and it's easy to get to, 64 East. Go off to the Route 15 exit there where it says Fork Union. Come up the ramp, turn left. Now you're heading due north. It's about 2 miles. Look for Green Springs Road. Turn right there, and it's beautiful. On Free Union, the Buck Mountain course, people love it out there. Wesley Chapel Road, that's one of my Chapel Spring Road. Oh, my gosh, Catterton. There are just some beautiful, beautiful places out there in this Buck Mountain course out there in Free Union. It's one of my favorites, and it's a nice little surf and turf, so to speak. You've got pavement and gravel, a nice mix. And one of the things I remind people, if you're running the Boston Marathon, New York City Marathon, Rich Marathon, any urban marathon in this country, any half marathon, most 10Ks, they're on pavement.
Yeah,
it's great to train on soft surface. It's good for your knees, better for your knees, but there's a shock to the system, particularly in half marathons and marathons, if you haven't been running on pavement. So you got to get a little mix in.
Right.
I tell people alternate. 1 week, go to Keene. Next week, maybe do the 10-miler course. My wife's favorite course is out at Sugar Hollow and in Whitehall. That is just absolutely fantastic course. And it runs along the road that takes you up to the Sugar Hollow Dam. You can park out there in the community center, which is right across from Wyatt's store in Whitehall. Park your car there, you run straight out towards the dam, and it's about, from your car out to the base of the dam, it's almost 5 miles, and most of it's dead flat, following the river. Beautiful, beautiful course, and that definitely made the list. And let's see what else I have here. Camp Hollow Trails Road, which I talked to you about earlier, about the old 10-miler course, that's another favorite because it's right close to town. And then another neat place to run, of course, people like to go up into the woods around Oak Hill. I just warned people about that footing can be a little bit. You have to be used to running off-road. And if you come back down the pavement, make sure you're not opening up that stride too much, because Oak Hill, Observatory Hill, call it that for a reason.
Right.
There's an observatory up there because they want to be high up and away from, they're up on the top of one of the biggest mountains in the city. So that's kind of a quick overview of cool places to run in our area. And if you ever need any more information on those, please feel free to give me a shout or call the shop. All right, everyone. I think that's about it. Thanks for listening in, and we'll talk to you next week. Stay on your feet.
This week's edition of RunCast was brought to you by the Ragged Mountain Running Shop, Central Virginia's community running and walking family partner since 1982. Conveniently located on the historic UVA corner with free parking at their doorstop. Visit them online at raggedmountainrunning.com or make sure you friend them on Facebook, Ragged Mountain Running Shop.